starts it all is there's a covenant, all right, that's signed for many, all right, and it's going to last for 7 years. That's the first time that this is mentioned. So the first mentions in the Bible are always very important. Remember how I've always talked about how things work in like a gear system in a watch? So many seconds makes a minute, so many minutes makes an hour, so many hours makes a day. So before there was digital watches, they were actually springs and cogs that made all that stuff work. So in God's timing, there are certain things that come up, and when they happen, it starts a whole new series of events. All right. For instance, when the decree came to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, right? From that time up until Christ was a set point of time. It's talked about in Daniel again. That says from the decree of Artaxerxes. From that decree to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem will be this amount of time, 69 weeks. And we go through that as actually comes to 173,880 days, right? So at the 173,888 days was the exact day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey. Alright? Exactly the exact day that was supposed to happen. It did happen. Here we have in Daniel again, he says, when you see these things happening, alright, and he's talking to Jerusalem, he says, understand this, that's another cog in the wheel that's going to start a whole new set of events happening. Alright? This will last for 7 years. It is what the New Testament church calls the 7 years of tribulation. Right? We're also, most of us here have been taught at one time or another that the church will not see any of these things. Unfortunately, we're observing those things happening today. There are some things we'll look into it, what it actually looks like for the church. And so I did this last week, and it's just too messy. Right? So it's the same thing, just a little cleaner, right, on this page. And so Daniel's 70 week is a covenant that is confirmed. It lasts for 7 years, and the 3.5 year point brings an end of the sacrifice of oblation. Or the oblation actually means offerings. So at the 3.5 year point, after the signing of a contract, that we may not know when it happens. All right, Julia could probably tell us about a lot of contracts that are signed in the military that we have no ideas about. Right. You can't tell us about it, but I'm sure that you know that there are contracts, right? Because in her job, you know, she works in that kind of field. There are contracts that are made, that are signed, that we pay for, but we know nothing about. Right? Lots of them. This covenant that's going to be signed with Israel could very well already be signed. I look at the Abrahamic Accord. How Saudi Arabia is right on the verge of signing this. So that has the EAU. What's the other one that signed on to that big country? Egypt hasn't signed yet, but they're on the list to sign. Anyhow, there's a covenant that comes and makes peace with Israel. They're on the list. There's a long list, but there are three countries that came out and said that we already agree with this. We're going to do it, and they're major Islamic nations. There's the direct descendants of Esau. Which, remember, Esau and Jacob broke up, right? So you've got to go back a little bit, you know, to find that. Israel became one 12 tribes, and Esau had another 12 tribes. And when they split apart, they have not been back together, all right? This peace covenant, this peace treaty that Daniel's talking about, is bringing calm to the family of Israel. Because, remember, Daniel only saw the things that were happening to Israel, right? He didn't see the church. Alright, so Daniel is saying that there's going to come a time that there's going to be a pact, a contract signed that's going to bring this divided family back together. The Abrahamic Accord. It is the closest thing that I have ever seen throughout history. There's been a lot of peace treaties with Israel for a long time. But this is the first time that the specific wording are for the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Israel to bring them back to oneness, peace. All right, so I don't know if this is that contract. I can't say that I know that. But I can say what I know about it, which really and truly is a teeny, itty bitty bit, the things that they allow you to know about any certain contract. For instance, when the military builds a weapon, you know that there's a F-18 or an F-22 or there's this new helicopter or that kind of stuff. But we don't know the ins and the outs of all the things, all right? You may see a new helicopter, but you really don't know the technology that's in the other stuff that's in that weapon, right? Here again, it talks about there's a covenant being confirmed that will last for 7 years. How long is the tribulation period? Go ahead, we all know that.
Seven years,
right? So that starts the clock. At the midpoint of that means by the time the 3.5 years of that happens, that means there has to be in Israel a place to sacrifice. Right? We know that in AD 70, all sacrifices stopped in Israel. Anybody remember the scenario? Titus, yeah. Go ahead.
The fall of Jerusalem.
It was the fall of Jerusalem. And what happened at that time?
They destroyed Israel.
They destroyed Israel and they dispersed the Hebrew people all over the known world at that time. Right? So Hebrews, that's how Hebrews got to be in England. That's how Hebrews got to be in Russia. That's how Hebrews got to be all over the world. Because up until then, they were just in the Jerusalem Palestinian area. In the land of Canaan, or just over the river in Jordan, right? All of the Hebrews were all congregated there. They really didn't travel a lot.
Until what,
AD 70. Okay? When Titus, what was his last name?
Dispersion. Titus.
Yeah. Starts with A, but anyhow. Anyhow, that guy. When Titus came and he took Jerusalem, conquered Jerusalem, and he tied the people and sent them all over the known world at that time. And that stayed that way until May 12, 1948. And Jesus said, and before that generation passes away, all of these things will be seen. Okay, so we know that when that happens, when that covenant happens, when that clicks, there's going to be certain things that happen on the world scene. All right, that's the beginning of annual 70th week. What we will see is the new world order will become unveiled. All right, last few weeks ago we did the triangle. Remember that? We talked about the 10 horns, the 3 that are pulled up, and the powers that are behind those horns. All right, which is more than just the nation. All right. For instance, here in America, we know that there's the U.S. government, right? Do you know that there are people behind the U.S. government that are making things happen? All right. There's really follow the money, right? If you follow the money, you normally get to where the core of the problem is, or where the real bosses are. You know, it's no longer the republic that was handed to us. All right. It has morph, it's changed, and now there are the powers that are behind what we see. For instance, the leader of the House, Pelosi. Do you think she's really doing things on her own accord? Or are somebody paying her, be it pharma, be it the EPA people, the tree huggers? Somebody's moving those people into a direction by money. Again, Trump. We can go with Trump, right? It's theater, right? Yeah. What we're seeing is the acting, the hypocrisy of the governments. Behind the governments are real powers. We can see that also in Daniel. Daniel started praying for 3 weeks, but Gabriel, the archangel, was going to come to him, right? Who stopped Gabriel from coming?
Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia. Do you really think that a human who would have been the Prince of Persia at that time had the power to restrain Gabriel the Archangel? Or that Gabriel had to wait for Michael the Archangel to come take up the battle for him? No. So we know that there are powers behind the powers that we see. That there are the hidden authorities that are really running the scene. Our president really isn't the president. The Congress really doesn't make law. We say that we do, But there's people behind that that push for those particular laws to make money. That's where it all boils down to love of money. So that's the world order. It's the beast that comes out of the sea in the Revelation. We talked about that. So the 70th week for the church, these are the things that we'll see. Then it says, and anybody want to pick up 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9? This is what you'll see at the beginning of the falling away. In the falling away. When we turn from the Savior, go ahead.
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
We tend also.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you see in that piece of scripture thinking about the last day? What's the first thing that he talks about happening?
Falling away.
Falling away.
People doing what they want to.
People doing what they want to. Jesus said that when I return, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, right? Giving and taking and marriage. Living life. We're just going around, we're going to the mall with our masks on. You know, we're doing the things that whatever has to happen, we're doing whatever, we're living, right? And so there'll be scoffers, the falling away, scoffers, mockers. Now, he's talking about the church here. He's not talking about the lost. Right? If you go back with Peter, when he first starts writing this epistle, he says that this is for the people of Christ. Right? He says these are for those who are in this nation or that nation, those who have followed Jesus Christ. So in the last days, people in the church are going to start mocking the Word of God. That will be a sure sign that the end of the, or the beginning of the end has started.
So we need that right now.
Thank you. I'm telling you some things.
Well, people who say that they're believers, that they're Christians, are doing, they look just like the world, doing exactly what
Thank
the world
you.
Does, closing down the church, doing everything whatever we're told, not standing up for what God is saying.
Walking by sight, not by faith.
Right.
All right? So, what are some of the other thoughts about the church becoming scoffers against the Word of God? Same-sex marriage. How many Christians believe that same-sex marriage is a good thing? A lot.
Abortion.
Abortion, yes. Yeah,
I
mean,
all the time. The whole thing, love, we, and which is true, we do love the,
right.
the sinner, but hate the sin.
Right.
But if you allow like marriages to come, to get married in churches and stuff like that. Well,
yeah, a lot of professing, I mean, really,
a lot of people who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior believe that having the same-sex relationships are okay.
And girls becoming boys, and boys becoming
and
girls.
Gender, all that stuff is very accepted in the majority of the buildings that are called the church.
Or even closer to the,
yeah, absolutely.
Even closer to the churches, God told me to leave this woman to be with her
helpers. Amen.
How many families are being broke up and switched around because
yeah.
they felt that God told them to I shouldn't be with this one, I should be with that one.
Yeah.
For people having affairs,
yes.
That's the NC word.
Right, yeah.
Or, you know,
right.
Living together, not mm-hmm.
Is sexual relationships outside of marriage completely? All right? I don't care if you're heterosexual or homosexual. If you're, homosexual is a different thing, but if it is the same sin. If you're having sexual relationships outside of the covenant of marriage, you are a, starts with F and ends with fornicator.
Fornicator.
All right. That's what you are. And the Word of God says that no fornicator has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Does the church really believe that?
No.
No, they don't. All right, so is that not stopping at the Word of God? Saying that women are okay to be pastors. How many Bible, they call themselves Bible-believing Christians, and they allow women to preach. I'm not talking about teaching, I'm talking about preaching from the pulpit in churches. All right, that's a scoffer. They're scoffing at the Word of God. They say that God really didn't make the world in 6 literal days. There's a lot of Christians that believe that those 6 days, because right here, because as one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. So those 6 days was really 6,000 years. Alright, even if it was 6,000 years, it doesn't add up to the billions and millions of years they say it took to make the world. I know through the Word of Scripture that bara, one day, the evening and the morning was a day, right? That means one literal 24-hour span of time. 6 of those in a row, God made everything. All right? And I talked to the delivery guy, right, that delivered the tin furniture this past week. Called himself a Christian. We quoted Scripture together until we came to the point that God made everything in 6 days. I don't believe that. It took millions and millions of years for God to make stuff. I said, no, the Bible says this. And we had to leave on that point. Talked to the pastor of the Presbyterian Church years ago. They changed pastors here like I changed socks. You know? So they rule over a lot, you know? Once every 3 years. when I put them on, my feet fall through. Or I put them on, they stand by themselves. It's definitely time to change them. But anyhow, in that mindset, he said that he did not believe that marriage was between one man and one woman. He's preaching to a congregation much larger than ours. He believes that a woman can be a pastor when the Scripture says specifically that women should not rule over men. Right? I have that pastorship. He believes that it was okay to have abortions if the mother doesn't want the child. Now, he's teaching people this in the church. He's a scoffer. He believes that it's been millions and billions of years, and he said, what was that? God allowed us to believe in 6 days of creation until we became more intelligent. That was his word.
Oh.
All right?
Became.
Yeah. Until we became.
Until we
evolved into the intelligent beings that we are. So those are scoffers. We're seeing them more and more and more in the last days. Right? And he's talking about the church. All of these things we're going to hit on today is towards the church. Lawlessness, number 3, Matthew 24 and 12. Jesus talking about this. Anybody? No, Lord, is it one verse?
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Right. All right? What's going to abound?
Iniquity.
What does iniquity mean?
Then lawlessness.
Lawlessness. What are we seeing?
Right.
Not obeying the law.
Hillary, if you're a good friend of Hillary Clinton, you're in very much danger. You could die at any day. Suicide. All of her friends have suicide, right? And I know some are big Hillary fans, or some may not be big Hillary fans. I don't care. The Clintons, we'll just put it there. The Clinton Foundation.
Because they saw things.
Because they saw things and they said things. A 6-foot-tall man gets choked to death, hangs himself on a 3-foot table.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do. Okay? So anyhow, right? Even if you sit down beside you can't. And lawlessness. When the courts can change the law depending on who you are. All of the mayors are telling you to stay at home, mind your own business. Right? Stay at home, don't go out, don't spend time with your family, stay away from church. What do they do?
party.
They party. They go. They do what they want to.
Yeah.
Right? They go where they want to. They see who they want to, and they wear what they want to wear. Now they'll tell you, the little peon human beings, that you don't have the ability. It's lawlessness. If it's good for me, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Now, y'all remember that?
But if we look in Scripture, okay, to the example of Jesus.
Yes.
How did Jesus love people? He touched people.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't that how he healed? He touched.
He touched. Yes.
And we're taught, again, and if you go back to Scripture, we're to stay 6 feet away. Don't touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was, again, but the example of our Lord was.
Communicating. Right?
Yeah.
How can I tell when someone's really... your facial expressions when they're covered up. And that's just, now, lawlessness in just the written constitution of America, our law that goes across everything, how much of that is being ripped apart right now?
It's funny, the mask, our family called grandson, first thing he does pull that mask off.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it. He's...
it's unnatural.
You can tell it's come up. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong there.
Right.
Yeah. Creates paranoia.
They kind of create
paranoia. Separation, suspicion of each other.
And Jesus says when this lawlessness starts to abound, what does abound mean?
Increase.
Rampant.
Rampant. It starts going across everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Look at the, just on the political scene, the taste about Biden's son in the Ukraine, in China. All right. Yeah. Does anyone know anything about that? I mean, I paid most attention to it when it first came out.
Was it a prostitute or what?
Well, no, not about prostitutes. Dealing with governments.
Oh.
All right. Hunter Biden was given billions of dollars by the Chinese government to make ways into the Obama administration. All right, through Joe Biden. So Hunter Biden was hired as a consultant on a firm that he knew nothing about. All right, he was paid billions of dollars. What they call, yeah, oil.
Yeah.
And he knew nothing. Well, it was some kind of energy thing. Burisma.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and so he was brought into that company. He knew nothing about that company. Now, this is going to blow your mind just a little bit. When it first came to light was about 3 months before the COVID was released from China. So the egg was broken, and all of a sudden, just 3 months later, COVID came out. 3 days later, the earth shut down. Because of lawlessness, doing things absolutely illegal, and is covered up by the ten horns, by the beasts.
Wasn't there some pedophilia?
There's a lot of... I mean, I'm not even talking about the sexual sin. I mean,
sexual sin.
Yeah, it's... Just looking at the governments that are in play, because that's what Daniel's talking about here, the governments that are in play, and the lawlessness, and I mean, yeah, the sin nature of humankind. If you got enough money, you can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? O.J. Simpson. You know? Murders his wife. A lot of folks say he didn't, but I don't know. And I'm not saying that he did or didn't. I wasn't there. But because of his money and the lawyers he bought, right, it didn't seem like he was guilty, although all of the evidence pointed that he was. Lawlessness. The corruption, Whitewater, right, and the Clinton Foundation, how that land thing, it was absolutely illegal and unrighteous what they were doing. Absolutely. All that stuff.
It goes on and on.
And now it's, they used to hide that stuff. Now it's not being hid anymore. They're coming right straight out and doing lawless things, breaking our Constitution unashamedly.
Because they don't care.
Because there's
everything's coming to what I know.
Yes. And what's happening to the church because of that? Our charity, our love is going cold.
Right?
And
I always say too that it says that there in Peter that where is the promise of his coming?
Mm.
For since the Father's fellowship of all things continues, they work. That's how they're one of the things they're mocking with.
Yes.
So we've held the church, the evangelical church, is held to a preacher of
rapture,
and it hasn't happened. Is that also?
That is
also. Am I reading into that?
No, you're not reading. I think you're reading it exactly what it says.
Yeah.
What he is talking about there, how many people, when you talk about the returning of Jesus Christ or in this time frame that I think that we're in, what do they say to you?
You're crazy.
You're crazy.
That's thousands of years away.
We will never see that, right? The church is, because the church is not appointed unto wrath, right? We know that? Mm-hmm. Well, where is wrath in the Bible? It's in Revelation 14. It's the exact spot where it talks about the vials being poured out, the wrath of God. But we're supposed to be floating out of here and all of our clothes falling off at the end of chapter 3. I don't know if that's true. I know pretty sure it's not true, because there's some things that are going to happen to the church that we're watching happening right now. Well, this lawlessness, this denying of the return of Jesus Christ, it's the same as it always has been. Have you heard that from your Christian brothers, sisters? I've heard that, you know. There's nothing about it. This has all happened before. It's no big deal. Ignore the man behind the curtain, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
So is that what the church is called, the rapture?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's a small part of it. I mean, that's just, again, we're picking at the scab and missing the root. Right? And, you know, anybody who ever had a splinter, right? You've got to get the splinter out or just keep getting reinfected. The problem is that we have been teaching false doctrine as part of this for 100 years in America. Do you know when the pre-trib rapture came about? When the teaching came about?
1830s.
Darby was one of them that started that whole teaching. It was never taught before 1830. It was always, you're going through the tribulation, always taught that way up until 1830. When we got more into it, we didn't have to listen to what the Bible says anymore. We can do, well, and with that, Darwinism came. You no longer are created in the image of man. You're actually, you fell out of a monkey's butt a million years ago, you know, and you became a human. All of those teachings started about that same time. Communist Manifesto. Our manifesto. It was first published in 1847. Alright? The way to take down America, the 46 steps to take down America found in the Communist Manifesto was published in 1963, 4, somewhere around there. They have 40 actual steps that they're going to take down, and making lawlessness the top one. Taking away our constitutional rights, our Bill of Rights, and changing those. Obama's wife said, we have to change our history. How do you change history?
Rewrite it.
It's still history.
It's still history. We stopped teaching it. When did we stop teaching true history to our children? Stop teaching the Bible, but I'm just American history.
Cursive.
And?
You can't read the founding documents if you can't read cursive.
Cursive, yeah. Absolutely. So when did we stop teaching the goodness that came in the Mayflower Compact? How many people here have actually read the Mayflower Compact? All right? Or George Washington's original inaugural address. Has anybody ever read that? That used to be taught in our schools. For generations, we've ignored history.
Tearing down statues, how about that?
Tearing down statues. Again, lawlessness is abounding. When I, because I'm in a crowd, I can come into the street, break your store windows, burn your stuff out of your stores, and be paid to get out of jail free. Has that ever happened in America? Until right now?
Not wholesale.
Thank you. Not wholesale. Yeah, and I guess that's a big way of talking about it. Because the abounding, the lawlessness abounding, is. Oh, golly.
I mean, and some of that in the civil rights movement.
Yes.
In the 60s. But
that was limited.
Yes. Very small in scope. Very small in scope. And now it's not small in scope. I mean, any time that they threaten to take down the Jefferson Monument and have the legs to do it, right, in Washington, D.C., if President Trump hadn't stepped in and said, no, we're going to put the National Guard around there, they would have knocked that building down and all the wonderful scripture that's written on the walls.
Abraham?
And they were
the
ones
that
were
the Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Wow.
Jefferson. And so, if the National Guard hadn't been posted there, those folks who were tearing down the statues, that was the next, and the mayor of Washington, right, said they were okay to do that. Anyhow, lawlessness abounded. And the love of the church starts waxing cold. Do you see that? Is the love in the ecclesia like it used to be?
No.
Right.
We don't have that love for one another.
Thank you, sister. You're right, we don't. And I would love to lie to you to say, oh yeah, it's great, man. No, it's not. There was a time if you were in the body of Christ and you were in need, what happened?
Your needs were met. You took care of each other. Everyone
yes.
came together to
yes.
provide care for you. We're not there for each
we're
other.
We're not there for each other.
I mean, don't be my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not just. But
and,
we're not there for each other.
And a lot of that is through Facebook. We got into this Facebook friends. All right, your Facebook friends. And I'm not saying all, I'm sure some of your Facebook friends are true friends. But you have 750 Facebook friends. But you say, hey, on Facebook, I don't have food to feed my family. Who dropped? If you have 750 real friends on Facebook, you should have 750 bags of groceries on your front door by the evening. Right? If we really loved people the way that we're supposed to.
Facebook's not real, though.
Amen. It's not.
It gives us an opportunity to have communication with those that are far away,
mm-hmm.
those that we're in groups
right.
with, you know, whether it's a musical group, this is a great way to communicate,
yeah.
or to follow and find out certain information. But it does not replace
thank
intimate
you.
Relationships.
Yes. See, I need this. I need...
It is a way to reconnect with your old high school friends,
yeah.
and you know you have a family page or whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't replace. Hi, Asha. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Everything has a place.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is,
I use Facebook, but
it can also be used for great evil and causing division and fighting and.
Oh, yes.
And like what have I shared before that thing that those 750 friends that you have, would you call them up and tell them whatever it is that you're willing to share on there? Would you say that same thing to those seven? If you wouldn't even say those things to one of those people, then
right.
you shouldn't put it out there to say that.
Amen. Just because you got a platform to say something, don't mean you should.
I have a men's group.
Yes.
My old high school friend, she's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And I have brought up about the vaccination.
Yeah.
And I went off on these things. She was out there that I don't do any research on. So I gave her the name of the doctor, whatever it is. She's never responded on the phone.
Absolutely. Don't mess me up with your facts. And so, and in that, because of the love of men is going to wax cold due to the abounding lawlessness that's happening in the church. Right? These are things for the church. This isn't for the world. This is for the church. Those who are supposed to be born again, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of these things are. So we're seeing this decay of the body of Christ. Right? Jesus talked about the tares and the wheat. They grow up together into the last day, and then it causes a division. He sends the angelic host to pull the tares out and gather the wheat into the barns, right? And the tares are held aside for the burning at a later date. But all of those grow together in one field, right? And they all look alike, they talk alike, they sound alike until that day of the separation. Right? So You're seeing those things. And he talks about there will be a falling away before the man of perdition is revealed. Anybody want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 17?
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that Annas then be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholds it, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brother beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
All right, there's a lot of stuff in there about the last day events, the things that are going to be happening. And so just starting, he says, first, don't let no man deceive you. All right, that's the first thing we got to look out for is deception. When they say that there's nothing to worry about, calm down, everyone's asleep. It's just a little bit of gas in the room. It won't kill you. Right? That's what's happening in the church. False doctrines are being taught. They're being brought out. There is a real deception happening in the body of Christ. Right? And that we'll see during the last days. It says that these things will be seen. There's a falling away. Somebody explain to me what the falling away is. Anyway. I'm gay.
Is that when Christians believe, but they're like not believing anymore?
Yeah. Those who used to walk in the fullness of the Word of God, and they stop believing the Word of God.
Because they have fallen away.
Because they're falling away.
Is that being in the apostate state?
That's being in the apostate state.
Okay.
That's ones who came to Jesus by faith. They believed the Word of God. But Jesus talked about the seeds that grew up, and some grew up around thorns, right? They lived for a little while, they thrived, right? The sower and the seed. And in that, we can bring all this stuff we can bring back to the parables, okay? And so the seeds came up among the weeds, and the weeds choked them out. And when Jesus explained that, he said those are the ones who believed, and they're joyful in their belief, until the deceits and the worries of the world stole it away from them.
They had no root.
They had no root within themselves. That's the rocky soil. It's still the same thing.
Well, in the prodigal son account,
yes,
that we read up, that would be the falling away too, where that son left.
He would have died in that position. The prodigal son, if he would have died while he was in eating with the swine, instead of coming to his senses, repenting and coming back to the Father. Take that to the other side. What if he never repented? What if he said, I have too much pride to go back to my Father and I won't go?
And he would have died out there.
Right.
Outside of
the covenant with his Father. Not that the Father didn't love him, but he chose not to be there. He chose to be apostate from the family. He chose not to walk away. Alright? You can choose to walk away from God. A lot of folks don't believe that. They believe once you said the prayer, you slid into home, you can rape, murder, pillage, all that you want to, and you're still going to heaven. I don't see that in Scripture. Jesus right here, Paul talking about that there's going to be a falling away. How can you fall away from something that you're not in? Right? So he says that in the people will be turning apostate from the church. They're going to be listening to seducing spirits. But we'll get into 1 and 2 Timothy here in a minute about going into different things. In this, he says, Paul says, remember I told you these things. And verse 6 says, and ye know what withholdeth he that might be revealed in his time. All right? There's coming a time that this little horn is going to come out from the world. The new world order is not going to be hiding anymore. The little horn that Daniel saw arise out of the ten horns, that horn's going to expose himself. But what happens first is the church has got to become weak enough. The church has got to stop praying, which we have. The church has got to stop believing what the Word of God says, which the majority of the people who call themselves Christians really don't believe the Word. They're more scoffers that call themselves Christian now than there are Christians that walk without stopping. Right? And so you're seeing this falling away happening. You're seeing this moving away from sound doctrine. As Paul told Timothy, perilous times shall come, that people will not stand for sound doctrine. We'll get to that in a moment, because all of these are signs that we're coming into the last of times.
Part of it, I see, is, you know, going through this and, you know, going towards some other church, a lot of it is because you're being taught a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't think you see that falling away.
Yeah.
Because it's like a taught church, you're doing everything that you're thinking because that's not being taught. But
yeah.
And I'm just sitting there wondering, like, oh, that's hurt. You know, yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, yes.
There's two hands up. Jim first.
That is his lukewarmness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's lukewarmness, and unless it's hot, you know, unless you're really desiring to learn, mm-hmm. you're being taught, then it grows. But when you're lukewarm, you're just setting in warmth.
Yeah, you're setting in the lukewarm.
I think it's also very easy to fall away when you don't know the Word of God.
Amen. There's the bottom.
Because that's where, if you don't know this book inside and out, like really know it and read it,
mm-hmm.
it's very easy to believe, to be tempted by what's out there, to believe what you're hearing out there. It's very, very easy. Because in this, unless this is like born into our brain, it's just too easy. Mm-hmm. And it's easy with our friends, with watching television, with anything that. So
many.
We can believe everything we hear in church from a pastor or a preacher or what we know, anything that you're saying. If I don't look and know this inside out first.
You're absolutely correct. You know, that's
exactly what I was going to say. Back in March and April, May, there was our main Sunday site. I had a deluge of just all different people. And it was, I mean, like this whole table would be full of Monday night. And all the, you know, their churches were closed, you know, all different reasons were coming. And we would go over a book or something, verses out of a book. And so many of them said, I've never read that book ever. I've never read that in the Old Testament. I've never. And these were all, obviously, professing Christians that night. We're sitting here, I thought, to see, you know, some truth and stuff. But they weren't on their own. And I'm talking 30 years, say, 35 years, say. And I know them, I don't know. There's kind of like, what are they? Like, you know what I mean? Like, really?
Well, I think, how many years have I taught the ladies, you know? But then there's so much that I'm learning that I've never, like, I feel like I'm starting all over from scratch again, you know, as a baby Christian here. Where after 25 years, there should have been saved. There should be so much more knowledge, which is why, you know, I got all upset and crying out on Sunday, you know, because I'm like, I'm so frustrated that at this point in my life, you know, but God knows, you know, all of that. But yes, when we don't know this inside and out, it's very easy to be.
When he talks about the temple of your heart, the temple, where's the temple? We are the temple. And in here, he says that even after the coming of lying powers, deceitfulness, because shown strong illusion. Before we get to the leaving the temple, all right, or who's ruling in your temple, you got to look at where the one who's coming with lying wonders and deceitfulness and unrighteousness to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. That's verse 9 and 10. And so, as you see this falling away, that 2 Thessalonians 3 is right there. And there's also a place in there that Kevin and I talked about the other day about the temple of God being human, the human heart. That's where the Holy Spirit. That's in verse 4. I skipped by that. Who oppresses and exalts himself, often called God, or that is worshipped. So, this is verse 4. So that he, as God, said it in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist. Where is he sitting?
In the temple.
Where's the temple?
We are the temple.
When the falling away happens, we have allowed the evil one to sit in our temple.
Even the heart and the ribs and the whole, everything is almost, is representative of.
It's very much like the wilderness tabernacle. If you go through the wilderness tabernacle and how it was built, and you examine that next to the human, the
chambers, the heart, the chambers.
Right, all the chambers. You look at that, you sent me that guy, and I looked into him, he is crazy smart. Anyhow, looking at that, see, we always try to put this in a brick and mortar kind of thing, but this is a spiritual book.
That's right.
Right? All of this is spiritually discerned for the people who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus sent us the Comforter that he said we, talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, would make their abode in us. Mm-hmm. Setting in our temple.
Yes.
In us.
In the temple.
Right? Now, when the falling away happens, we start believing the lie rather than the truth. And it happens a little bit at a time. We, in our own unrighteousness, start believing the lie, which God sends the delusion, all right? Because we don't love the truth. What is the truth? This right here is truth. When we don't love this word, the word of God, more than any pastor's teaching, I don't care if it's Dr. Jeremiah or your favorite Dr. Stanley or whoever you want to call it, if you don't love the Word of God more than that, you'll be deceived.
And if Satan, if the Antichrist comes into the midst of the temple,
yes,
and you know, wants to be worshipped, and Satan wants to sit in your heart.
I will make my throne above the throne of the Most High God.
That's right. He wants to sit in the heart.
Now, we always think of that in the heavenly realms, but how about in your personal belief system as a vessel of the Holy Spirit?
And it's not to say bricks and mortar thing isn't real, too.
Amen.
There's something else going on.
There's something else. Remember, there's the physical 10 horns, but there's the powers behind the 10 horns.
Because there's also going to be where the Antichrist is in the temple. Jerusalem, right?
Yes, there will come that physical time for the Hebrew people to see the true Antichrist in the temple of God sitting down and causing a cease, stopping the sacrifice. Right? We'll see that. We'll see that happen. That'll be physical. That happens at the 3.5 year point. What happens from the beginning of the 70th week up until that 3.5 point, the church has got to change. We change our belief system. We move towards the lie and towards the truth. We stop loving the truth, and God sends a strong delusion into the body of Christ.
So we will believe it.
So we will believe the lie if you don't love the truth.
Yeah, the whole thing he's in with the. It's been mentioned, the technocracy.
Yes.
The technocracy with that image, that with. Nebuchadnezzar's image with the clay and the iron mingling themselves. Some people believe that that could be a technology, is the iron.
Mm-hmm.
And behind all this technology
with
all this technology, because the Bible says the The image of the beast.
Yes.
I mean, that, it's an image.
It's an image.
So there's a lot going on, and we're, you know, I think there is a technology behind this technology, is a spirit.
Yes.
A spirit behind it.
Amen. Yeah. So in, as you look in this, and they shut down the churches.
Yeah.
All right. What did everybody have to start trusting in?
Government.
Computer. We worship the computer. We worship our Facebook screens. We worship our iPad thingies. We worship our cell phones. Right? And we're allowing technology, right, the beast, to absolutely rule over our hearts. The other day, Sunday morning, we come for prayer here, and we got talking about amuse. What does amuse mean? Right? Amusement. Actually, it means the disconnecting of the brain, really, when you boil it down. When you go to an amusement park, you're disconnecting your brain. When you watch TV shows, you're disconnecting your thought process, right? And you're getting into this imaginary world.
Right.
What was the first place I went to look for that?
Yeah.
Google. All right? First place I went was Google. I couldn't find it there. You know where I found it? It was in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. All right? The definition for that. I couldn't find it on Google, but first place I went wasn't to the Word of God, wasn't to the written Word that a man of God put on paper that we could know what the English language was all about. I went to Satan's most powerful tool, Google. Why? Because I didn't love the truth enough to go to the Bible.
Because Google knows all.
Google knows all. I talked to Siri.
Well,
that's like Siri, it's Alexa. Yeah. All right? So, letting this technology rule over the throne of our heart. Dating apps. Right? Instead of going out and meeting people. What happened to sitting on the front porch in the swing? And your mama and your daddy would have shot down on the other side of the floor. And y'all just sat there, I'm just a swing man, right? Right? And you're just there, and Corey, what happened to Corey?
Our kid did.
Yeah.
Our son, his first girlfriend, he met her in college, and she's a missionary for campus ambassador. It was about 180.
Campus 180.
Yeah, for Rockport. And their very first date, they sat down and he said, well, I'm not looking to date, I'm looking for a wife.
Yeah.
He was 21 years old. She's not good on her
resume.
Good.
That was it. Raised down. Yeah.
You know.
And so, there's a book came out a long time ago speaking to this called Kiss Dating Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. Any young people out there and you're thinking about dating, stop. You don't look for a boyfriend. You're looking for a life mate, a husband slash wife, depending on which sex you start out as. And I mean start out as. Not one you chose when you were 15, but the one that you really are. And so, and in verse 10, after that, giving the throne of your heart away to the powers that be, giving your throne away. Because nobody takes that throne. You know that? The Holy Spirit can't take your throne, and Lucifer can't take your throne. You give it to them.
God given us a free will.
That's the free will. And we give it away. That our Constitution wasn't taken away from us. We did nothing, and we gave it away. Right? Our Bill of Rights wasn't taken away. We gave it away. Believing in Jesus Christ in the schools wasn't taken away. We gave it away. We can't blame nobody but ourselves. Okay? The church, the pulpits, are the fault for all of this garbage because we stopped believing the truth and started teaching a lie. Alright? We stopped allowing people to have the Holy Spirit lead them into how much truth? All truth. Amen? Again, if the Lord allows us, we'll get down there to John 14:26. Talking about that. And verse 10 says, and with all talking about this Antichrist ruling in your hearts, this non-belief system, or the believing of the lie ruling over your hearts, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, that because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Okay, why does anyone perish? And when he talks about perishing, he's not talking about just dying. Because how many are just going to die?
Everybody.
All of us die. Right? If no one gets out of this alive. If Jesus had to die, you've got to die too. There's only two that didn't die. Right? Anybody know who they are? Enoch.
And Moses.
Huh? Moses died. Elijah and Enoch. Those were the only two that never tasted death. They were translated, they were changed. Right? Alright.
I just wonder about Moses because he's coming back.
Moses is coming back. I don't know. Moses already died.
Moses is one of the witnesses, though.
We can wrestle about that a little bit later. Yeah. People say that because of the same works that Moses did that he does. Alright? But who did the work? It really wasn't Moses. It was God who worked through Moses. God can choose another host. You know? I don't need to use that sprinkler. I've got a sprinkler over there I can use. You know? He's God. There's only two that didn't die. Moses died and he was buried. Right? God buried him. Yeah.
So can I go back to verse 7?
Sure, yes you can.
So where it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
Yeah.
Perish because what? Not that they didn't receive the truth.
Thank you.
But they received the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Christians have received the truth.
Yes.
They received not the love of the truth. And that word right there just stuck out. That's a huge difference.
That's
because
huge.
We receive the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that almost every Christian has heard the truth.
Yeah.
But hasn't
received it in its fullness. Hasn't loved that truth.
That they might be saved.
Thank you. There's been so many people that call themselves Christian are not.
Because they think they have the truth.
Yeah.
And that's it. But there's more.
Mm-hmm. Keep on reading since you're right there.
For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. They're going to be deceived because they don't have the love of the truth that they should believe a lie.
Yes.
That's scary stuff.
And that means that people that really believe that they know the truth and don't have it, they absolutely believe that.
And that word love there is agape.
Is agape. Yep.
It isn't always, but it is.
Right here. It's a very specific type of love. It's not phileo. It's not eros. Right? It's agape. And for that cause, because they didn't love that you, God sends a strong delusion. Satan doesn't send a strong delusion. Alright, this ain't from the evil one. This is from God to the church. The ones who think that they're saved and are not. This is for the ones who confess but never repented. These are for the ones that love themselves more than they love God. It's my way instead of Yahweh. Right? That's for those. Remember, he's not talking to the world here. This book's not for the world. This book is for the church. Because they didn't love the truth, God sent them a strong delusion. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, I don't have to do unrighteousness. I just have to agree with those who do unrighteousness. That remind you of another verse that you can find in Romans, the end of the chapter? What? Not those who do such things, but those who take pleasure in those who do such things. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Just follow your heart. Right? Follow your heart. Do the things that make you feel okay. It's alright. God will never judge you. He's all love. Yes, sister.
I remember he said one time he went to other things that he said that your heart is deceitfully wicked.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the Bible, sister. It came out of my mouth, but that's the word of God. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. And if we follow our heart, where are we heading?
Hell.
And you might think you're in the church. You might think you're born again. But you don't love the truth enough to obey the truth. Jesus said, if you love me, you do what?
Obey.
Well, wait a second. I love the Lord. Does that mean I've got to do what he says? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like a husband saying, I love you, wife, but I'm going to go have an affair with something out there. I love you, children, but I'm going to go to the bar instead of celebrate your birthday with you. I love you, but instead of you, I'm doing anything else. We say, I love God. But we walk, but we don't look like God. Yes, sister?
When you say but, it cancels out everything else
you said. Yes, it does. Absolutely. Anytime you add but to God, it cancels everything. You add but to the gospel, you add but to truth. Jesus said, you got to love him how much? More than your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters, and yes, even your own life. Yeah, brother.
When you said, Father, as you said, you confess your sins to God, but you don't repent, so that confession is null and void.
Yeah.
Because you don't turn away from the sins that you committed.
Right? Well, here's a confession. Because I have tools, that makes me okay. Does it?
No.
All right. I can stand in a garage all day with my toolbox, call myself a mechanic all day long. I ain't no mechanic. You can go to church, you can make all the confessions you want, you can say whatever you want to say, but unless you know mechanics, you can't call yourself a mechanic. Unless you know God, you can't call yourself a Christian. And unless you love the truth more than you love yourself, you cannot call yourself in Christ. In fact, you can call yourself in sin. God doesn't call you that. Yes, maybe you're right. God doesn't consider you that way. And so in the falling away, in the last days, in that God sends a strong delusion that they might be alive. And so in and through the rest of that, we need to comfort our hearts. Verse 17, there's your call to the gospel, brother. Stand fast, all right? This verse 15 says, therefore, because of all that, we need to do what? Stand fast. What does stand fast mean? It means do not back down. Do not back down. When the government tells you that you cannot worship the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't sing, you can't come and gather together in the body of Christ, and they say you can't do it, what are you supposed to do?
Do it.
Do it. What did Daniel do? Three times a day, he opened his windows and he worshiped the Lord. The three Hebrew boys, and I keep going back to this because those are the strongest accounts in the Word of God that we have for that. They said, King, we don't even need to answer you in death. If God doesn't deliver us, don't worry about it. I don't care. If God does deliver us, praise God for that. We need to have that kind of intestinal fortitude. Perseverance. We are not of those who fall back into perdition, but we push forward to the high call of Christ. Church, are we doing that in our day-to-day, everyday walk? Another thing, false teachers and false teaching will widely expand in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Just a short one there. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4.
For the time will come when they will not endure a sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned out of the table.
All right, what's going to happen? All right, you see this coming of the apostasy, the things that are going to be happening. So we'll be in 2 Timothy 3 also. I guess we can go ahead and tag into that because false teachers and false teachings and false teachers, they're going to widely expand. Not just a little bit, but widely expand. Yeah.
So in verse 3 here, they'll endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Mm-hmm.
Which right there, if we hear something, a sermon, that sounds really good, it's almost like a beware of that. Like,
yeah.
it's competitor, like, oh, I don't like everything that I'm hearing, because that's like, because when we hear what we want to hear, that's that itching ear.
Yes.
Like, it sounds good. It sounds pretty.
It's not that the people have itching ears, the pastors have itching ears. Read it. They each of themselves teachers with itching ears.
Oh.
Okay? You know, I'm not going to preach to y'all the truth because y'all won't like me. I need your accolade. Right? That's what the pastors are saying. I will not teach you the truth because it's going to offend you. I won't teach you the truth because I need to pay for the bills here, right? And I need a big church to pay for the big building and the big things that we're doing.
So, like the pastors that preach love, righteous love,
old
things, send his
money,
you know, and oh, everybody loves them.
Mm-hmm.
You're wonderful.
Yeah, those are, that's who he's talking about here. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about their gatherings themselves.
I've never read it.
I've never read it.
Teachers with itching ears. All right. Yes.
I was in the 70s, and I remember back then we used to have 10 meetings with an evangelist. We were reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a brick zone, but you don't hear that.
You don't hear people preaching
out.
No,
it's not a revival.
Which is a sign of the name of
They stay away from the controversial subjects and just preach them.
Yes.
A lot of stuff.
Unicorns and rainbow preachers. Okay? They just teach you the oh, don't worry, God, just go ahead. God's all love. Now, don't get me wrong. God is all love, but he's also all just.
Right.
And a pastor, a sheepdog, and I don't consider myself a shepherd. I'm a sheepdog. I have a shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. The shepherd tells the sheepdog where to give direction to the sheep. It's not my job to have you like me, right? That's not the thing of a pastor, that people, that the sheepdog, oh, I need all the sheep to like me. No. My job is to nip at your heels until we get going in the right direction. The sheep really don't like the sheepdog, but they feel very safe because there's a sheepdog in the pen. My job is to fight off wolves and to keep you guys to where God wants you to be. And the pastors who need to be friends or friendly, it's kind of like parents saying, my child is my best friend, or my best friend is my child.
Well, our job is to be parents.
Right.
To be friends.
I am not here to be your friend. Alright, and don't get me wrong, I will be friendly with anybody, right? We can lay down in the same pasture and, you know, and we can love each other, that kind of stuff. But when I preach, if it hurts you, I do not care. I'm not here. I don't need your accolation. I don't need your payment. You don't have to pay me for what I do. I'm not here for filthy lucre. And I don't need you blowing smoke up my skirt. I don't, and any pastor that needs that is one of these. Teachers having itching ears. I need to speak where you love me. I love you, but I don't care if you love me back. And that sounds harsh. When you hear that for the first few times, it sounds harsh, but where I get my affirmation is not from you guys. Where I get my affirmation is not from my wife. You know, when I ask her, like, she doesn't hear the Wednesday message or whatever, and I ask her, well, how'd you like it? And she comes back and says, well, you tried to be way too funny last week. That burned a little bit. But, all right, praise God. Maybe I was, because I had a friend in the audience. I had a friend here. And maybe I didn't preach as to the point and as direct as what I needed to. That's why, and I didn't need her to say, oh, that's so easy, so good. I needed to hear that you're too much of a comedian, not enough of a pastor. That's what I needed. Because I ain't here to be funny. Now, I may say some things that giggle, yeah, but it's not like I do a stand-up comedian show for an hour. I'm here to tell you the truth. And in the last times, they're going to be gathering to themselves teachers that won't teach the truth. They'll teach anything but.
The truth hurts. So if you're listening to things that hurt and you don't like, it's really the Holy Spirit telling us what we need.
Yeah. because I'm reading 3, because 3 has a lot to do with it too. But anyhow, we'll get to that more involved here in a minute. So, teacher with itching ears, all right, departing from the faith, accepting doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. So, when the 70th week starts coming to fruition, things start opening up, and we start seeing these things happening, this is what it will look like. Anybody show that to the Lord?
Set 1-4?
Yeah.
1 Timothy 4:1-4. Okay. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
All right, and you can go ahead and reply to this.
The Lord is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
All right. Now, in the very first part of that, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some shall fall away, depart from the faith. Can you depart from the faith if you never had the faith to begin with? So he's talking about those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they leave it. They depart from the faith. They start believing the lie. All right, it says giving heed. What does giving heed mean?
Listening to.
Mm-hmm. Paying attention to. Giving creed to. Okay. Giving creed to what?
Seducing spirits.
All right, what's a seducing spirit?
No.
Mm-hmm. Deceiving, that's another word, a deceiving spirit. So many in the church, because they're teaching, bringing to themselves teachers with itching ears, he's preaching hypocrisy, he's preaching a lie, he's preaching deception, and they are flocking to it. The church is flocking to it. Okay? Doctrines of devils. What is a doctrine of the devil that's being preached from most pulpits in our day and time? One real strong. There's actually several. Go ahead, Rick.
Prosperity
gospel. Amen. God wants you to have everything you want to have.
Health and wellness.
Health and wellness, yeah. God never meant you to get sick. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You know? Those are some things that are being taught. How about some of the things that we have already discussed where the Word of God says that this is an abomination?
Homosexuality.
Fornication. Adultery. Drunkenness. Lasciviousness. Pride. Those are all doctrines of devils.
Social justice.
Social justice. That's a doctrine of the devil. And the church is gobbling it up like multivitamins. Right? They're eating it up like it's good stuff, but it's really poison. My brother.
Well, would you say that that's from Satan?
I wouldn't say it. The Bible says it. Alright? Alright. If doctrines of devils, does that mean to come from God? No, it's a doctrine of the devil. Pre-trib rapture. Once saved, always saved. Well, let me put it this way. I'll say confess. Because I think once you're really and truly converted, you're converted. God does something there. But there's a lot of people who say, pray after me. Pray after me and you will be saved. Please find that anywhere in Scripture.
I actually was trying to look that up, and you're right. It was nowhere in here.
Nowhere.
And we've been taught that for how long?
They were
prayer for after the 1830s?
Well, actually, real close to that time, who led Billy Graham to saving grace? He was a tent preacher. Billy Sunday. Yeah, Billy Sunday. He's the one, well, I have to go back a little bit further than that. right after the Revolutionary War, Charles Finney. Charles Finney started the altar calls. Do you know that? Because he had so many people coming, and so he said it was the worst mistake he ever made from the pulpit was to have altar calls. False confessions. Alright? Think about that. The one who started it, he said, anybody who believes in Jesus Christ, raise your hand, I'll pray for you, you'll be saved. Or would the whole crowd would raise their hand. He would pray for them, and they wouldn't repent of their sin, but they would confess that they're a sinner, and then they would go back and call themselves Christian and live like the world. He said it was the worst mistake he had. And he called it a doctrine of the devil.
Well,
he called that himself. Just at his deathbed, in his death speaking. There's a guy who wrote it all down. You can find it. I found it. If I can find it, you can find it.
So, and I don't know, because maybe you can maybe point it out from Scripture. So if you're a little kid, say,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you have 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and they're making a profession of faith.
Right.
Can it be a real?
It can
be a profession.
No.
I mean, do we see examples of children who?
I guess the earliest one would be the prophet Samuel. Right? I think that's the only young person, Jesus, when he was 12. I think that's unfair. Jesus was God.
I mean, I don't know, because God, of course, can do anything. But I'm just thinking, because at that, when you're a child, can you...
Do you even know right from wrong?
Can you understand
right?
What you're doing?
No.
When our kids, when they got saved, they're like, well, we already knew you got baptized. And it's like, oh, no. Not mm-hmm. Really. We can see.
Yes, there are pieces of evidence.
It wasn't until they were around 12 or 13 when they got baptized. You could then see in them.
The incompatibility mm-hmm. is
yeah.
around 12 or 13. That's
right.
When the Jewish kids don't have their So they have to have, there's that childlike innocence,
mm-hmm.
and then there is understanding and knowledge.
Yes.
And so until, I mean, they can accept Christ as a child with childlike believability and faith, just like when you say, I'm your mom and dad. You know, they don't have to see your birth certificate or have a DNA test to know that you're mom and dad.
Right? But
well,
they can say prove it.
Prove
it. We're different.
Right. Until they find out they're adopted and then they say, oh,
right.
You're not my mom.
Right. Exactly.
But you know what I mean? So until they have that understanding, you know, because God is not, he's a just God. So he is not going to damn a child who died to hell at the age of 9.
Right.
He's not going to send them to hell because they're a child. They don't have that.
I'm with you.
Right, and I agree with that. I'm just wondering, when we say the little kid professing they got saved, which again, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying is how much. So I'll use my own personal testimony.
Yeah.
When Mark shared the gospel with me and I prayed, as we talked about, I really, and when I look back now, I don't really think I, quote, got saved that
Thank
day.
You. I'm with you.
Because I think it wasn't until I started reading the Bible and I started going, I'm going to Charles Sandwich Church, and when I started understanding what he was saying then, and I don't know that there was an exact moment, but it was all clear to me now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I get
There's
this.
There's illumination
now.
That happens.
Right.
Right. And I don't know if a child of 5 or 4 or 3 or 6 or 9 has the power for the illumination. I don't know if they're able to do it. You know, with the finite mind that they have. But, well, you know that you're 21 before you're what's this, the cerebral cortex? Actually connects
us.
For your brain, actually make the front of your brain talk to the rest of your brain.
Like 52.
Maybe.
Older and mature, you're able to understand, you know, things.
Right, yes.
You know,
Have faith like a child, right? He says, come unto me as a child, right? And that's what you're talking about.
So I'm just going to say, well, along with that, so but would that be more like, you know, because children believe things so easily.
Santa Claus.
You can tell a child anything and they'll believe it. So again, once we really do truly have that personal relationship with Jesus, that we accept, but like, you know, I can't understand, like my brain can't understand all of this.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily understanding, but it's having faith
that
Jesus says it is true. Just having that childlike faith and believing it, even if I don't completely understand it.
And Jesus didn't say that child was saved. He said, come to me with childlike faith. Mm-hmm. All right.
He
didn't say
that. All their heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Children just have that.
Yes, they have that. Yeah, I want to jump off the bridge because I know you're down there. Right? I've flattened both my feet with that thought. But, so anyhow, in that, you know, this false doctrines, accepting the doctrines of demons, things that we call truth that is not in here, right? We think they're true because Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so or whatever said that it was true, but you don't find it in the scriptures,
right?
That pray after me is not in the scripture anywhere. But we believe that.
Because we've been taught it, and we believe again what we're hearing
without
looking for it ourselves.
Yes.
Right.
Well, we're supposed to be guided by the Holy Spirit again, John 14:26. Jesus says, I'll send you the Comforter, and he will guide you into how much truth?
All
truth.
But I think that when we do teach children's classes and do Vacation Bible School, and Julia was in my class, Vacation Bible School, you plant seeds in children's minds.
But seeing them as a child in the way they should go.
Right, exactly. Well, they may not have a complete understanding, but you're telling them to admit that they're a sinner. You're planting the seed.
Right.
Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And then you need to confess your sin.
Wouldn't it be better to teach them what sin is?
Yep, we talked about that too.
Yes, absolutely.
What is that? Disobeying your parents. Things of that. It's beating up your brother. Things of that. You know, but planting those seeds for little kids is important. You can't just, you can't just say, well, we'll tell you later when you...
No, but you bring it up on a level that they can understand.
Right.
Absolutely.
And say, yes, when we talk to children, the child wants to be saved. We don't just... praying the prayer.
Right.
We ask them, why did you want to be? Why did you, why, what makes you want to?
Right.
You better know.
Everything
that you told them and why they're doing it.
Right.
Does anybody know what CEF is?
Child Evangelism Fellowship. Yeah. Right. And their goal is to bring a lot of kids to salvation. And that's really what it is.
So I guess that's why a lot of people believe in evolution as opposed to creation, because they don't believe in God,
the reason we believe any of that garbage is because we don't believe what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
You know, so in that, we accepting doctrines of devils, accepting that there's these things that are extra vital. Here's a doctrine of the devil: you've got to be baptized to be saved. All right, you've got to speak in tongues to be saved. You've got to count beads and confess to a priest to be saved. Okay? Forbidding to marry?
Well, that forbidding to marry means you're not forbidding, was like you're not allowed to get married.
Right. A priest can't get married.
For me.
Yeah. No, that's an odd one right here. All right. Have y'all seen the commercials of the veggie burgers and stuff right now? This is the beginning of making a law where it's illegal to eat meat. We're watching it percolating within the next couple of years when Kalama Harris is in her second term as president. Kalamama Harris, whatever her name is.
I think she wants to restrict, scale back or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, it starts that way.
But look at in school, they're indoctrinating children.
Yes.
They are showing how killing of animals, how. I'm not going to eat that. Because they're being cruel to the animals, because they're treating them badly. Mm-hmm. You're telling them this way, and already fully, and you're showing that in school, you're
yes.
already teaching
yeah.
and getting those ideas in their head.
Our daughter, this is probably me and me, she was probably in second, yeah, she was in second grade, she wasn't in high school yet. And she said, I'm not eating meat, it's cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, well, God says, or I think God says, the doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor says, if you don't eat red meat, you're going to die.
Yeah.
She started eating.
Yeah.
She would eat meat, but she would go to McDonald's and have chicken nuggets.
Yeah, right. Well, that's not real meat. And no, it's not real meat, but that's what you got.
And if you don't kill that animal, that the species of that animal will overpopulate the whole earth.
Amen. Yep. That's right.
You know what's interesting is that raising cattle is actually good for the earth.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're droppings and all that, and they
we're losing the ozone because cows are passing gas.
I know. This is the agenda because the meat is actually
yes.
the red meat is
it is
healthy for you. And it's a very obscure. Yes. I always find that scripture is very obscure. It's a strange scripture there. Commanding to abstain from meats, and I think God put that in there so that we as ignorant Christians look at it and go, "Ooh, we're talking about getting rid of meat." This is so strange.
Yeah,
it's a very pinpoint thing, exactly.
The Messiah will ride in on a donkey on the foal of an ass.
Watch it come to pass.
Very specific. The Messiah will
yeah.
ride in on a certain day on a donkey on the foal of an ass.
Yeah.
Pinpoint.
Yeah.
Jesus rode in on what? The donkey, a colt
yeah.
of an ass.
Yeah.
A very odd, just an odd thing to say.
Yeah.
Right? This is an odd thing
and
to say.
Up.
And
up.
We're seeing it on almost, we don't watch a lot of TV, but we do get stupid before we go to sleep. We want to turn on the stupid box, right? And every commercial or every commercial set, you see these veggie burgers. You see the kids say, I don't like vegetables. And they feed them these chicken McNugget looking things and say, well, you've been lied to. That's a vegetable. Right? And we're watching that.
My husband is a genius.
I'm sure he's very genius. Or my next husband is a genius.
The previous one, I don't know what.
VeggieTales.
Yes.
They're cannibals.
They are.
They eat vegetables.
I refuse to let them watch their show.
I had never thought about that. The kids all in church Sunday school, they're watching VeggieTales.
Yeah.
We're not going to get to the end of the study again today. Praise God for that. It's been a wonderful study. But if you look up 2 Timothy 3:1-7, it talks about perilous times again. And he also talks about persecution. Things are going to wax worse and worse. Do not expect an end-time revival. All right? How many people have talked? There's an end-time revival. There's going to be a big revival just before Jesus comes. That's a lie. It's not going to happen. All right? Jesus says that people are going to be falling away, not coming to him during the end times. 1 Peter 2:1-22 describes what the falling away really looks like as a little horn arises. So, it's...
Are we going to do these next week? Are
we?
We
can.
We
can just stop right here and pick up next week.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
all right. Yes. Because in this, there's actually a neat thing I want to show up on the big screen again. But if we'll start this. If we get to the churches, the churches of the Revelation, right, the unveiling of the church part in the Revelation, that is huge, and it ties in souls perfectly and specifically with what we're talking about today. The seven churches of the Revelation. Don't look at them as individual churches. Look at them as an attitude of the body of Christ and the way to get back to Christ. As in every church, yes, I have a way out of the problem that you're in. Right? Well, by the grace of God, we'll get into the beginning of the Revelation. And as this goes through, maybe we'll get persecuted and put into FEMA camps before we get to the Revelation 21. Right? Because we just now are rolling out of Daniel and into the New Testament. So, folks, I love you. And we will. We'll pick up right here next week. All right, I'll have a new board and If any of y'all want any of these things that have been putting it on the entire net, or there's no email it to people, stuff like that. If you want any of this information, it's easily grabbed. If you want to, and again, folks, I am not God. All right, I do not know anything. All I'm doing is pointing out what I see in Scripture in the reflection of the reality of today. Right? I could be wrong. I could be absolutely wrong about all this. I'd have to be an author with my head stuck in the sand.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looks too real for our day and time. We haven't even talked about the mark of the beast yet. Now, we bumped around with the vaccine and stuff like that, but the mark of the beast is a very real thing, and a lot of people who think that they're Christian are going to take it. All right? And when they do, you become something other than human. I said that out there just to make you go, what? That guy's crazy.
That's still a tease.
Yeah, it is. It's a tease. Same bad time, same bad channel. So now, who wants to close the prayer? And we can communicate for the next 15 minutes.